Today, it's Donald Trump's favourite news network, but is Fox News starting to waver in support of the president? And deadly riots in Chile, with protesters taking to the streets to oppose a rising cost of living. It can sometimes feel like Fox News is broadcasting for an audience of one.
Joining us now on the phone is the President of the United States of America, Donald Trump.
Thank you very much. Thank you all. Your show is a fantastic show.
It's the network that the most powerful man in the world relies on most for his TV news.
Because I turned on a very good show in the morning, Fox and Friends, they treat us great.
And it's his favorite channel to appear on.
The president is turning 73 today, and he is joining us by phone right now.
On Monday, Fox presenter Sean Hannity gave Donald Trump 40 minutes to explain his side of the story on the impeachment inquiry he faces.
And if Ukraine would know something about the 2016 election, you have to give that information. I hope that they would give the information.
Some say Fox News made Trump. And a new poll this week finds that Republicans who watch the channel are still the president's most committed fans. But while they and some presenters are clearly still on board, are others at the broadcaster starting to jump ship?
President Trump is fond of calling out the media on fake news, but is he the one giving them very real ammunition?
A few recent items by Fox.
51% of those responding say the president should be impeached.
Have appeared to upset the president.
Did Fox News just lose one of its most faithful viewers? President Trump taking to Twitter to accuse the network of heavily promoting Democrats.
From The Guardian, I'm Anushka Astana. Today in focus, is Donald Trump's love affair with Fox News starting to wane? In the 1990s, Rupert Murdoch, the media baron famous for his tabloid news in the UK, had an idea about how he could dominate TV news in the US. He believed that there was a market out there of working-class Americans whose anger wasn't being heard. The type of Americans who 20 years later would become key voters in the election of President Donald Trump.
You know, around then we had a handful of networks that framed the news from a centrist perspective, which most of them still do to this day.
Luke O'Neill is a freelance journalist who has been writing about American politics, including the relationship between Donald Trump and Fox News for The Guardian.
I was pretty young at the time, but I do remember this undercurrent of hatred for Bill Clinton in particular.
Could President Clinton have had an affair with an intern and then try to cover it up?
A Clinton bombshell.
I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
This was also the era of talk radio here, where people like Rush Limbaugh.
Now, many have again thought this is a sexist and tasteless thing to do, but as is the case,
we're really starting to hammer this idea that Democrats and the left were un-American and they were, you know, traitors. And
the fact is that they are going to attempt to rehabilitate these people. And if it doesn't,
you know, they wanted to hand over the country to this group and that group. And what Fox did was it took that sort of undercurrent from the radio waves, which was really, you know, more of a niche thing, and turned it into this glitzy sort of professional looking package with a very hard right wing perspective.
This is Fox News Now, all the news you need in 15 minutes. Good morning, everyone. I'm Allison Costarini.
Just so we understand, here in the UK, TV news is regulated in the US, but not in the strict way that it is by Ofcom here. And that's allowed Fox to be very opinionated, hasn't it?
That used to be, you know, by law that you had to give equal time to various parts of the political spectrum. But much like everything else, you know, in the Reagan years and shortly thereafter, there was this big wave of deregulation. And also the fact that Fox News was on cable as opposed to, you know, broadcast television, they could get away with a lot more things than the networks that we would had been relying on for decades could do.
When did Donald Trump become a fixture on Fox News?
The first thing where Trump really became a political figure on Fox News was around 2010, 2011, when he started to push this really racist conspiracy theory against Obama.
You brought up the idea of the president's birth certificate and the fact that you would love for him to show it.
Just which was the birtherism theory.
They've asked others for their birth certificate, and they would ask me for my birth certificate. And by the way, it's sitting on the top of my desk.
The reason I have a little doubt, just a little, is because he grew up and nobody knew him.
The idea behind that was that Barack Obama wasn't a real U.S. citizen.
I'm saying it's a real possibility.
And, he was pulling a con on the American people.
Then he has pulled one of the great cons in the history of politics.
And of course it was a lie.
The state of Hawaii released my official long-form birth certificate.
But it took off amongst Fox News viewers and the right wing here in America. Started to believe this thing.
The birth certificate was produced in 2011. You continued to tell the story and question the president's legitimacy in 2012, 13, 14, 15.
I was the one that got him to produce the birth certificate, and I think I did a good job.
And, you can trace a lot of this era that we have right now of misinformation and people in the Trump orbit not even bothering to try to appeal to believability or honesty. Back to that whole birtherism thing.
No one was really talking about Trump as a future president back then, but there was a sense that Murdoch's top man at Fox, Roger Ailes, hated Obama and wanted Fox News to help defeat him. Was there any sense at the time that he saw Trump as a way to achieve that?
I don't think that Murdoch and Ailes and, quite frankly, a lot of people on the right took Trump seriously back then, and they may still not take him seriously now. But what they probably saw was somebody that they could trot out on the airwaves to say something completely outside of the norm that then they could position themselves as a little bit more reasonable than, but meanwhile still getting that extreme message out there.
Well, it's time to welcome Donald Trump to the show, as we do every Monday now. Good morning, Donald.
Good morning.
And when Donald Trump decided he wanted to become president, Fox News seemed to be right at the center of that.
Some people really don't want you to be president at all, or frankly, they say that you'll never make it.
I can tell you, I'm their worst nightmare. I am not the person that they want to run.
Yeah, there was this moment that's now become iconic where he's coming down the escalator with his wife, and it was broadcast live.
This was perhaps Donald Trump's most celebrated arrival. With a baby in a hand. When he escalated himself into the presidential race.
From the very beginning, it was showed how much Trump's presidency and his rise to power was tied intrinsically to television. Before that point, he had been a pretty constant fixture on the news, but that was the moment where things sort of shifted into high gear. And from then on, Fox News and then other networks like CNN almost always were carrying Trump events live.
Hello, Mr. President.
Hello, Alexa.
What brings you here?
Are we on already?
We're on. We're live.
Oh, wow. That's good.
We're on every channel.
Fox News originally and Murdoch, I don't think that they wanted him to win. Murdoch had been critical of some of Trump's more outrageous comments about Mexicans being rapists. And, there was a spat between Trump and Megyn Kelly, who was a Fox News host at the time, that left a bad taste in the mouths of a lot of Fox News people.
You've called women you don't like fat pigs, dogs, slobs, and disgusting animals. Your Twitter account
only
is
Rosie
several...
O'Donnell.
No,
nonetheless, they recognized that this guy was somebody that people wanted to look at on TV, whether it was people who loved everything he was saying or people who hated everything he was saying.
Despite those seeds of doubt, it becomes pretty clear that for Fox News, Donald Trump is their man. There's wall-to-wall coverage. High-profile presenters like Tucker Carlson and Sean Hannity seem to love him. There's even an allegation reported in The New Yorker that when a young Fox reporter brings in an exclusive story about Trump's relationship with the adult actor Stormy Daniels.
Stephanie Clifford, a.k.a. Stormy Daniels, breaking her silence to 60 Minutes about her alleged affair with Donald Trump.
I actually don't make it a habit to kiss and tell. Part of me feels guilty about doing that.
One of her bosses says, good reporting, kiddo, but Rupert wants Donald Trump to win, so just let it go. Now, to be fair, that Fox executive denies ever saying that and insists there wasn't enough evidence to run the story.
One, the president breaking his silence on Stormy Daniels, claiming that he didn't know anything about the payment that his own lawyer made to Daniels.
But tell me how important Fox News was in Trump's eventual victory.
I don't think we would have Trump as president now if Fox News didn't eventually make the decision that, okay, this is our guy. They could see this guy might actually win. So they kept some things like the Stormy Daniels story they may not have reported or underreported. And that, you know, began a pattern of what we're seeing still is that anything that is going to be too embarrassing to Trump, Fox News is going to decline to even acknowledge exists.
Arguably, once he became president, those ties tightened further.
It really is a revolving door, and the examples of people that have left Fox News to go into the administration is really long. I guess most significant among them would probably be Bill Shine, who's actually the former co-president of Fox News, and he was hired to come on as the communications director at the White House.
The president's communications director headed out of the White House. Bill Shine has resigned, according to the White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders.
Interestingly about that, he was still being paid millions of dollars by Fox News while he was working in the White House. Some of the others that have left, you know, they were Fox News contributors, were people like Ben Carson, who went on to become the Secretary of Housing and Urban Development.
Of our nation, and I say now is the time for us to rise up and take America back.
John Bolton, who was a regular on Fox News, he went on to become Trump's National Security Advisor.
Bolton says he quit. Trump says he fired him. I don't know who to believe, the guy who lies all the time or the other guy who lies all the time.
Kimberly Guilfoyle was a host on a Fox News program, and she left to go work on the Trump campaign.
Fox News has parted ways with Kimberly Guilfoyle.
And actually started dating the president's son.
We're looking forward to just to get a little one-on-one time with the family that we don't get
and
as
you
much.
You got others like Elaine Chao, who became the Secretary of Transportation, and Scott Brown, who became the ambassador to New Zealand.
Hey, hello, New Zealand. Hello, Samoa.
Nice Monica Crowley was a Fox News personality. She went on to work in the Treasury Department. Going on Fox News is almost like a job interview. So Jay Sekulow, who's one of Trump's main personal attorneys now.
The president, and he joins us now from Washington. Jay, good morning. Yesterday, good morning.
Trump hired him because he liked the way that he was defending him on Fox News.
And people leaving the White House are going to Fox News too.
Most recently, we've seen Hope Hicks, who is Trump's sort of right-hand woman, left the administration and has gone on to a job at Fox. Sarah Huckabee Sanders is another one who is the, you know, White House press secretary, and she's now on Fox News.
Sarah Sanders, former White House press secretary, making her debut today. Ladies and gentlemen, she's a Fox News contributor.
You began with Bill Shine, who has left as communications director at the White House to be a key advisor on Trump's 2020 campaign. He's still very close to former colleagues at Fox, and that's thrown up some ethical questions about Trump's relationship with the broadcaster, hasn't it?
It really has, especially the relationship between Trump and Sean Hannity, who's become one of Trump's biggest boosters on the air.
Hi, welcome to Hannity. Tonight, the Democratic Party way out of control. They've declared war on a president of the United States.
But is also reportedly an informal advisor. It's been said that the two speak on the phone many nights of the week.
And so close, in fact, that there was once a case when Donald Trump was on stage at a campaign event and he brought Sean Hannity up onto stage.
Sean Hannity, come on up. Sean Hannity.
That time, Fox News issued a statement saying it didn't condone any talent participating in campaign events and that this was an unfortunate distraction. So it crossed a line even for them, didn't it?
It did. And that's, you know, generally, well, really frowned upon. You're not supposed to campaign for a political candidate, even if, you know, like Hannity, you cast yourself as more of an opinion journalist.
Of course, the president's right. Her party's deranged, psychotic, rage, obsessive.
And that relationship with Hannity is clearly still strong, given that Donald Trump appeared on his show on Monday night.
Mr. President, thank you so much for taking time. No busy day.
I feel like the idea of Donald Trump sitting around in his dressing gown, watching Fox News and tweeting about it is the stuff of legend. Even my 7-year-old son here in England said to me when I mentioned Donald Trump's name one time, "Mummy, is he the man who eats cheeseburgers and watches three TVs?" How much does he watch? And is this where he gets all his world news?
It's been reported that it's very hard for Trump's advisors to get him to actually read the briefings that they send him. And, you know, his schedule will come out and it'll often have nothing on his schedule until 11 a.m. or noon. And it's believed that he spends, you know, most of those hours of the morning sitting in the White House watching Fox News. He calls it executive time, which is kind of a hilarious euphemism. What it really is, he's just sitting there watching TV. The reason we know this is because he's often live tweeting what he sees on Fox News.
And he's not just watching it, is he?
He is joining us by phone right now. Good morning to you, Mr. President.
As we know, he sometimes calls in to Fox and Friends, the morning show.
Good morning.
Happy birthday. How do you plan to celebrate?
Fox and Friends, it would be really hard to describe. It's like news from an alternate reality.
You gotta have a cake or something.
They were running stories about how impeachment, which is, you know, lawfully provided for within our Constitution, amounted to a illegal military coup. Not.
This is just the latest attempted coup of a duly elected president by we the people.
Sometimes Trump will call in, and it's kind of hilarious because despite the fact that they all love him so much, it can be hard for them to get him off the phone.
I am not the person that they want to run against.
Mm-hmm. And they'll say like, well, we know that you're busy, Mr. President, so we'll let you go. And then he'll keep on rambling for another 5 minutes.
And they tell me, Donald, you are not the person they want to run against.
And it's especially troubling when you consider the type of stuff that they talk about on, say, Fox and Friends.
And he really, really cares about what Fox News says about him, doesn't he? And what different Fox News celebrities think of him.
He really does. Like, I've seen people started to joke that he's like President TV Guide. Like, he'll go on Twitter and he'll say, you know, tune in at 8 p.m. tonight to watch, you know, Sean Hannity or whatever show it is, because he's wants to direct people to watch the same things he's watching that are telling him how good he is. And he keeps a tally of this stuff too. There was at that rally in Minnesota, he basically went through a catalog of Fox hosts.
Tucker's been very good, I have to say. He's been good.
Rating them on the scale of how deferential to him they are. And he said, you know, Sean Hannity has the number one show, he said.
And the legendary Sean Hannity.
Laura Ingraham is knocking out of the park.
What a great group.
And then an interesting thing that he did, though, is he brought up Brian Kilmeade, who's one of these Fox and Friends people we've been talking about. And he sort of criticized him a little bit.
And by the way, Brian's gotten a lot better, right? Brian was a 7, and he's getting close to 10 territory.
And we've seen with Trump's decision to pull out of Syria, a lot of the Republicans and a lot of his most loyal defenders on Fox were very unhappy about that, and they started to criticize him, which is very rare.
What signs are there that they're giving him a harder time?
From time to time, Fox News will have criticized Trump, and that's part of the thing that they do to make it seem like they're not fully in the bag for him. They have daytime journalists. They're supposed to, you know, present the news from a ostensibly neutral perspective.
So let me be clear, Mr. President. How can you drain the swamp if you're the one who keeps muddying the waters?
And once this impeachment and whole Ukraine scandal started to come around, some of them were actually saying, this really doesn't look good.
This is dangerous. This is a constitutional crisis. He's trying to break the system.
This seems like it's at least unethical and maybe illegal.
Congress has the right to impeach.
And, you know, as we alluded to earlier, Trump really cannot countenance even the slightest criticism. There was this other Fox News host, Ed Henry, who said, had a mildly critical comment about the Ukraine incident. He's like, if this is true, this isn't great, right?
So you're
zero.
Okay with a president asking another president to dig up dirt on a candidate? You're okay with that?
And Trump, who was obviously watching at the time, lost his mind, and he went on this bizarre tweet and retweet rant looking for anything that he could find that would trash talk Ed Henry. And this guy, Henry, is like a Trump supporter. He almost never says anything negative about it. And just this simple question just pushed Trump over the edge for some reason.
One of the things that seems to have sent the president into an absolute spin about Fox News was a national poll commissioned by the broadcaster that suggested a majority want him to be impeached.
And that's not any one particular party, but people in that survey.
How important has that been? And do we know why Fox publicized it in the way they did?
I believe that they probably did this poll in good faith. And it just happened to show that 51% said they wanted to see Trump impeached and removed. And another 3 or 4% just wanted to see him impeached, but not removed.
Coming from Fox News. I mean, we can't even get a majority of Americans to agree on who should play Batman.
And,
so.
You know, Trump pays a lot of attention to polls. He ignores the ones that make him look bad, and he trumpets the ones that make him look good.
Fox News poll was a pretty big shock to Trump, and you can tell he's pretty upset at the network.
And the fact that a Fox News poll would be showing that his time might be up, that's genuinely scary for him.
That cooling off between Trump and Fox News definitely appears to be a real thing, and the president tweeted himself recently.
He wrote, from the day I announced I was running for president, I have never had a good Fox News poll.
That their pollsters suck and that Fox isn't working for us anymore, although in one message he did add, oh well, I'm president. We've talked about the way Murdoch cleverly targeted working class viewers who felt ignored, many of whom went on to vote for the president. For a long time, it seemed like Trump needed Fox. Is he saying he's bigger than that now?
There's no doubt in my mind that Trump believes that he doesn't think that he needs Fox News or anybody else. But ever since his days, you know, from the 80s, as just as a New York real estate guy, he's always known that he needed the media to build the Donald Trump myth. And I don't think that he would be in the position he's in now without Fox News. And if they did decide to turn on him for whatever reason, he'd be done for. Fox News was the most popular cable news network in America before Donald Trump came around. And sadly, they will probably continue to be that once Donald Trump is gone.
Luke, thank you very much.
Thanks. It's been great.
That was Luke O'Neill, who has been writing about American politics for The Guardian. He has critiqued Fox News in his successful newsletter, Welcome to Hell World. His book, with the same title, is out now. Coming up, how a cost of living protest in Chile turned deadly. Now, Latin America's most prosperous country has faced upheaval after Chile's president declared a state of emergency, leading to riots in which more than a dozen people have been killed. It is the worst unrest in the country since the dying days of Augusto Pinochet's dictatorship. Journalist Jonathan Franklin is out on the streets of Santiago reporting on the chaos for The Guardian.
I've spent the past several days riding my bicycle through Santiago interviewing people, and what I found is a massive celebration. The whole fabric of the city changed overnight, and there was children, grandmas, people playing football in the streets. It's just been remarkable to see the celebration, the anger, the destruction, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars in destruction, fires left, right, and center, graffiti, yet most of the people protesting have a smile and they're just saying, it's about time, it's about time. Time and time and again, as I've interviewed people about what caused this spark, we just hear the unjust system, that the justice system doesn't work, the health system doesn't work, the public schools are far, far from the level of the private schools here in Chile. So there's kind of a huge sense that the haves have half the country and the have-nots, which are 90% of the country, you know, have less than half. And it's just this growing sense of inequality and just promise after promise after promise from governments on the left and governments on the right that people just got fed up and decided that the only way they could get attention was to, you know, burn large chunks of the city down. So what we're seeing is the government trying to crack down, calling this a small group of hoodlums, and the rest of the country kind of standing back and saying, you know, who are you talking about? What country are you looking at? Because what we see as journalists is just huge support for the uprising, not support at all for a lot of the vandalism and the fires, but the uprising, we're seeing huge support in neighborhoods across the political and economic spectrum. For the first couple nights of the military curfew, it was rather tranquil. The people danced and sang and mocked the police, and they taunted the military. All this changed on Monday night when the military came out in force. Thousands and thousands of troops poured into the city in tanks, in troop carriers, and they went hardcore after people, grabbing them, throwing them down, kicking them. In that space of just 3 hours, I was shot at twice, at least 9 rounds from shotguns and from military-style weapons.
Prensa, prensa!
It was just complete havoc, and you just got the sense that that there was, you know, shoot first and ask questions later, which is very unusual for Chile. This is a country that doesn't have high levels of violence. People don't own guns, and by and large. And so to have the army on the streets remind a lot of people of the worst days of the Pinochet regime. There's a whole sense that the government is really unable to understand this. President Piñera keeps describing this as vandalism and we shouldn't be asking why. And the rest of the country is saying, of course, we need to ask why. And there's going to be a real reckoning with Chile's distribution of wealth. There'll probably be a major change in the cabinet and the formation of the government. There'll be all sorts of emergency legislation put through. But it's hard to say how this can be stopped because it really did explode overnight and, you know, expose just a rotting part of Chile that many people have not wanted to see. And I have to say, it's been remarkable. I've been here 25 years and I've always wondered how come the Chilean people were so passive and faced of such injustice, and they're not passive anymore.
That was Jonathan Franklin. That's it for today. If you get a chance, tweet me any thoughts to @AnushkaAstana or rate and review us wherever you listen to your podcasts. My thanks to Luke O'Neill and Jonathan Franklin. Today's episode was produced by Hannah Moore, Courtney Youssef and Mithali Rao. Sound design was by Axel Kakoutier. The executive producers are Phil Maynard and Nicole Jackson. We'll be back tomorrow.